All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's in verse 14 that we read these words, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. You know, in our day and age, this wind of doctrine that was spoken of in verse 14 isn't blowing any harder than in the attempts that are being made to try to change the way that worship is rendered unto God. Aside from departures that have already taken place in years past, there are other things that are being advocated and done. And much of the change is because of our entertainment-crazed society. The way of thinking now is worship ought to entertain us. We want to stimulate the taste and the desires of the audience. In other words, the focus of worship is placed on the people. Such things as manipulating the light to create a mood or effect, placing a choir group behind a rock so that their singing echoes in a sort of an eerie, chilly fashion that will send chills up and down our spine. Our friends, all of this and more is being done to satisfy our own needs, revive our interest, and to escape the boredom of worship. Worship does not need to be overhauled. We need to cultivate our appetites for pure New Testament worship. When I was a child, I didn't enjoy the worship assembly. I remember, and probably you do too, your mother insisting that you eat your vegetables. What reason did she give? They're good for you. You've got to eat them. Well, very few worthwhile endeavors in this world come naturally. Growing from a child to an adult requires both physical and spiritual appetites to be matured. We all have to be taught to stick with it, and oftentimes this meant being made to do it. And the same is true with simple worship that we find taught in the Scriptures. We have to stick with it because they're good for us. When we want and insist on exciting and new ways to worship, we're only showing immaturity, just like the child refusing to eat his vegetables. We're living in a time when change, discontent, and restlessness are everywhere. People tire very easily of doing, as they say, the same old thing, and they look for something different. This is true of the car that we drive. It's true, sad to say, of the mates that we marry. It's true of the house that we live in. People that jump from one marriage to another, or from one house to another, or from one job to another, chances are they've got an attitude problem. The problem doesn't go away after they've made the change, does it? Why? Well, because it's an internal problem, and changing the external things is not going to fix it. If worship has become boring and has no meaning, so much so that a person feels that they need to change churches or liven up the worship assembly with theatrics, he has a spiritual internal problem. He has a heart problem. When you drink a Coca-Cola, what do you expect it to taste like? A Pepsi? No, you expect it to taste the same time every time that you taste it. So there are some things that don't change and you don't want them to change. You know, remember a few years ago when they tried to change Coke and they made a clear Pepsi? Well, where are they at now? No, we're back to the classics, aren't we? Well, God has given us things that require repetition and lack of change, and he expects us to keep it that way. Shame on the man who puts away his wife of his youth because she's getting old and that she has become predictable after 10, 12, 15 years of marriage. Likewise, shame on the Christian who puts away the simple worship of the New Testament because it's the same old thing, because it has become predictable. If it's become boring on the basis that we do it over and over, the problem is in our attitude. There are some things that we want to consider, and we want to sort of make this a series of studies over the next several days. We want to look at the new preaching style that has come as a result of this desire for change, this wind of doctrine that is sweeping the country. Some places are leaving off the extending of the invitation to someone in the assembly that needs to obey the gospel or a Christian that needs to repent of their sins. We see many changes that have taken place. We've heard of them when it comes to the singing. There has been an ever-increasing practice of lifting up hands during the worship assembly. Hand clapping is another one of those things. And then the use of drama and dramatic readings that some churches have given into. So these are just a few of the things that certainly fall under the heading of this every wind of doctrine that was spoken about in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. So let's look at the new preaching style. Well, this is a change that slowly emerged over the last 30, 40, or 50 years. You know, scriptures used to be the sum total of sermons, but not so. Because most preachers have gone off to worldly schools and have gone to some local religious bookstore and have bought denominational books, preaching seems like has now become dominated by psychology and by humanistic philosophy. Preaching seems to now focus more on the preacher than on the message. And he's popular because of his charisma. He has a pleasing personality. He has a dynamic delivery. And it's in the ability of the preacher then to entertain, to excite, to dazzle, that makes people want them and makes them as preachers then popular. And it has nothing to do with the depth and the scripturalness of his preaching. Spiritual or scriptural substance has been replaced by emotional stimulation. Denominations have always elevated and focused on the preacher. You know, it used to be that churches of Christ focused on Christ, his church, the truth of the gospel. Well, in many instances, we're selling out to denominationalism, and we're following their approach. The old style was appealing for its good sense, its scripture, and its logic. But the new style is going for showmanship, and it seeks to be entertaining, and it seeks to be more exciting. And a lot of preaching being heard today is dominated by anecdotes, incidences, and numerous references to the preacher's own personal life. There is less and less appeal to the Bible. to the stories that are contained within the Bible, and certainly to the examples that we have found in the Scriptures. Why the change in style? Well, I think maybe what heads this list is an overemphasis that some have on numbers. You see, many perceive this as really the only indicator of growth in the church. Therefore, to have more growth, the preaching has to be adjusted and adapted to society, because that's what man wants for himself, yet what man wants for himself has been something that's never worked. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it says, "It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, God is the only one that knows what's good for man. God's the only one that knows man's needs, and therefore God must be the one to set the agenda for preaching. You know, when Saul wanted to talk about sacrifice, he needed to be talking about obedience. We go back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and read that story. When Cain wanted to talk about the merits of whether or not he was his brother's keeper, he needed to be facing up to the sin of murder and to his defiant attitude toward God that we read about in Genesis 4. You see, preaching needs to center on what God says are man's needs, and not the latest scientific, sociological, or physiological or psychological craze. Bible-centered preaching will not likely be popular, up-to-date, pleasing, nor always interesting. And it won't bring in the big numbers. But friends, it will please God. Preaching needs to be patterned after Christ. In John 7 and verse 12, Jesus said there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. In John 7 and verse 43, "So there was a division among the people because of him." And the him that we're referring to is Christ. See, the prevailing mood in the church of today is peace at all costs. Just smooth it over. And whatever you do, don't offend anyone. And yet, he said, "Suppose you that I've come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division." Who said that? Jesus, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. The idea today is don't call names or speak too directly about a false doctrine, a false teacher, or a false church. And yet, both John and Jesus labeled folks with rather direct names. He called them generation of vipers, fools, blind guides, hypocrites, child of the devil, serpents. And all we have to do is go through the book of Matthew 3, verse 7, Matthew 12, verse 34, Matthew 23, verses 15 through 17, and on, we see the language that Jesus used. Paul publicly called individuals down by name for their misdeeds. He spoke of Demas, Hymenaeus, Alexander, Philetus, Peter even, Alexander the coppersmith. Galatians 2, verse 11, 1 Timothy 1, verse 20, 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, and then all of these verses. Why did John call Diotrephes by name in 3 John, verses 9 and 10? Or why did he come right out and call the name of a false religious group, like in Revelations 2, verses 6 and 15, with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? See, publicly pinpointing people, groups, and doctrines is a biblical, Christ-like activity when it's undertaken properly. You know, we hear a lot today about balanced preaching. More often than not, what there is being really meant is that the preacher should not be negative in his teaching. But friends, instead, we need to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. And the Bible clearly reveals that the most frequent need we have as a human being is to be corrected and disciplined. And friends, that is negative. So the conclusion is hard for many to accept. Bible preaching that is balanced is divisive, it's offensive, and it's often negative. But to those that will receive it, it will save their soul. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much for listening. Tune in with us tomorrow, and we'll bid you a pleasant good day until then, and we'll turn you back to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.